Welcome to Freedom House Podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this church as we change our world one life at a time. So if you have a story to share about how this ministry has impacted your life, please let us know and send us an email at amen@thefreedomhouse.org. We hope you enjoyed this message.
I want to welcome those who are going to watch our television program on A Heart After God and also listen to this via podcast. We love you. Amen. I love my kids. I told you a couple weeks ago how much I love my kids and how much sometimes they make me pray a lot. Come on, somebody. But you know, my kids give me endless analogies of my relationship with God and God's relationship with me. Like, I love my kids. They give me some, like, have you figured out yet that sometimes your kids teach you a lot? Say amen. Come on now. You know, where you're like, oh, maybe I do that too. And God just speaks to me through my kids. Like a lot of things that happen, they give me endless analogies and make me realize how much sometimes God has to straighten me out. Come on, somebody, right? Not me, I'm perfect. That's your first prayer request right there. Come on, somebody, all right? But my kids, and one of the things that cracks me up by my kids that really has been illuminating to me is that my kids have this thought, I don't know where they got it from, but they almost have this thought that like me and their mom, and my wife, right? But me and their mom, like we are trying to ruin their lives. Parents, where you at? Come on. Like, I don't know where they downloaded this from. I'm like, who plugged this into you that you think me and your mom are out to try to ruin your life? Like, we're just, how can we just make their life miserable today? Like they think, like, why are you messing with me? Like, you know, I'll tell him, go to bed. He's like, oh. Like, he thinks I'm ruining his life by telling Judah Bear to go to bed. Like, he thinks I'm ruining his life when I'm like, eat your vegetables. Oh. Like, I'm trying to torture them or something. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I'll tell them, you cannot live off goldfishies and cookies. You need some sustenance. And my son be like, what does that word mean? I'm like, great, here we go, right? But they have like this thought. I don't know where they download that me, that we're just like, how are we trying to, I'm gonna ruin your life today. And they don't, I don't know where they got this from. And God just showed me that so often we view the same thing about God. That we're like, we think God is the same way in heaven going, how am I going to ruin your life today? I'm going to get you a flat tire today. I'm going to make the AC not work on previous Sunday. Come on, somebody. And we think like, are you trying to ruin my life, you know? And we sometimes put this stuff in the reality is, as no more as I am not trying to ruin my kids' life, but I'm trying to prepare them for something greater. No more is God today not trying to ruin your life, but is trying to prepare you, talk to me somebody, for something greater. Tell three people God's preparing you. He might be trying to send you as a missionary to Dominican Republic. That's why he had you in the service. Come on. One nation, one day, you better be clapping missionaries because it's going to be hot in Nicaragua. Come on now. Come on, somebody. All right. He's preparing you. But God is preparing us. Maybe this morning, God's just trying to work on your patience. I better leave that one alone. Come on, somebody. God is always into preparing us. He will not waste a moment, not waste a day, and he is into always building our character. And if we're not careful, we will actually get this frame of thinking like, God, are you trying to ruin my, why are you trying to mess with me? God's like, no, I'm trying to set you up to make the greatest impact and to be ready for the kingdom to come through your life. Someone just put a good church amen right there. And I love the story of Jonah because if you really read the story of Jonah closely, as I shared with you, the Bible says in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 1 that God, watch this now, that God gives a message to Jonah. I promise you that. He gave a message to Jonah. I want you to notice that God downloads this to him, not Jonah asking God for the message. Have you figured out yet that sometimes you're not looking for the word, but God brings the word to you? You're like, I'm just trying to mind my own business. I'm just trying to keep the wife happy of being in church today. Why? I'm just trying to come to church so you can write a good letter for me, Pastor, when I go before the judge. Talk to me. I'm just trying to be here because, you know, but if you notice that sometimes you ain't even looking for the word, but God makes the word come find you. Have you figured out yet that you're just, I'm just trying to go to work on the freeway. God, why? I'm just trying to go to this business meeting. God, why are you speaking to me right now? Are you trying to ruin my life? The scripture says that God speaks to him. In so many words, God interrupts his life. God interrupts him, shakes him up, and says, I have such a call, such a destiny, such things that I want you to do, that I have called you for you to establish my kingdom, to live out my God call. He says, I won't let you just run off, but I am going to bring the word to you. Why? Because God loves you and because you're called. Somebody say amen. So God brings the word to him. Now, if you haven't figured out yet, God has no problem interrupting your life. I'll raise my hand. He has no problem. Like, if we're honest, our whole relationship with God started as a big old interruption. It's called salvation. Come on. I don't think nobody in this room was like, you know, today I'm just going to get saved. I'm going to get saved today. And you're like, hey, you know what I mean? Maybe a few of you that God, but very rarely does anyone wake up one Sunday and be like, you know what? Today I'm going to get saved. No, you were out, shout. And God's like, no more shout. Come on, somebody. And he's, okay? You were out trying to, he's like, nah, get over here. You were out running amok, and God's like, get up. And you're like, ah, and God's like, I got a hold of you. I humbled you. I'm going to give you 3 seconds to give God a praise because he interrupted your whole life and saved you. Later on, you're like, now I know why. But that's what happened in my life. Like, I'll never forget the moment I got invited to church. When I got invited to church, I didn't want to be at church. I was like, I'm not going to church. Why would I want to go to church? I will burn up if I go to church. The ACs won't work. No, I'm joking. Come on. I was like, if I go to church, and I was not a church person, so I got a phone call. I got invited. Hey, you ought to come to church. I'm like, I'm not going to church. It was a Sunday night. I'm like, I'm not going to church. I got plans, you know? And so then her friend called me. Was like, hey, you ought to come to church. I'm like, I'm not going to church. And I'm like, you go to church? When we were like partying like a couple weeks ago, like, you go to church? She's like, yeah, I go to church now. I don't do that no more. I'm like, well, tonight, actually, we got, you know, all this stuff. And I got plans. I can't go to church, you know? And she's like, well, you better be careful. You know, I guess that's her way of praying for me. Then I got a third phone call, and the third phone call was the mom of the first girl that called me and was like, I don't know you, but we're going to pick you up for church in 15 minutes. Click, hung up the phone for me and picked me up on my way to church. Here I am on my way to church. I didn't want to go to church that night, but man, I went to church that night. I've never been in a Christian church before. I'm like, why are people jumping? Why is there drums? If I see snakes, I am running out of this place faster than you can blink. Come on. And I was like, what's going on here? Well, that night I gave my life to God. I surrendered my life. I heard the message like I never heard before. I asked Jesus to come into my life, and my life was forever changed. I went back to school, started preaching the gospel, opened up a Bible club where hundreds of kids were getting saved, and we started a revival. Teachers were getting saved. Coaches were getting saved. And I started preaching on school benches, and things happened. I didn't plan all that. What started as an interruption was an invitation. Oh, and by the way, that girl who called me, the first one, her name used to be Marie Viacania. I put a ring on that. Marie Silva. Come on, somebody. And so that first girl that called me, I didn't even realize it, but it was my future wife. It was my destiny that was calling me, that if I said no, it was an invitation to the call. I just came to tell someone that God is getting ready to interrupt your life and getting ready to ask you to step into the dimension that God called you. And I'm saying he brought you here today to ask you, are you ready to step into a new dimension, a new level? Because Freedom House Church is moving. You can't stay where we were, and you can't stay where you are. Someone give God a praise like you're going. Oh, Lord. I told you I feel like a preacher. Come on. Help us, God. Jesus. Tell your neighbor, say, I'm going to a new dimension. Write this down, point number one. I got to move quick. Point number one. What seems like an interruption is actually an invitation to your destiny. Thanks, honey, because I married her. Come on, somebody. What seems like an interruption is actually an invitation to your destiny. Tell your neighbor, say, has God interrupted you yet? If not, get ready. Oh, yeah. I'm smiling. Huh? Get ready. He's going to interrupt you. I love the verse because the Bible says, go to the next verse, Jonah 1:3. It says that God gave him a word, and the Bible says that Jonah got up and he went in the opposite direction to get away from God. Now bring out that chair if you can for me, team. Bring out that chair. The Bible says that Jonah got up. You know what that means? That if Jonah got up, what was he doing before he got up? Nothing in the Bible is ever there for no reason. The scripture said, put in there, he got up. Jonah was just sitting at the park on a Sunday afternoon. Just me and Tyrone and the homies. Come on, somebody. Okay, stay safe. All right. They can't see me over there. All right, right here. It's like, it's good. It's good. Then the scripture says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. Jonah, I have a message for you. Me? You must be talking to the person behind me. That wasn't for me. Lord, the word fell right here. It should have fell back over here. Go ahead. No, it's for the person next to me. Oh, you know us church people, it's for the person that's not here today. That the word is for them. They should have been here today. They should have, this is for them. Bola de pecadores, man, sinners, you know. I'm in church, yeah. Just sitting on a Sunday. And the Lord says, Jonah, I'm talking to you. Oh, snap, why'd you have to say me? I was just coming on a Sunday to sit, and I'm just trying to sit, you know. But now you want me to do something? He says, Jonah, I want you to get up, and I want you to go to the great city of Fullerton. I want you to go to the great city called Nineveh, and I want you to shine my light. I want you to announce my, I want you to announce my judgment. I want you to not try to fit in. I want you to stand out. I want you to go to your job, and I want you to tell people about Jesus. I want you to go home, and I want you to change the culture, and no more brokenness. I want you to begin to bring Christ home. I want you, and God will speak to you right where you are. How you doing today? I'm just sitting here in church. God's gonna speak to you. The Bible says God spoke to Jonah. Jonah got the word, okay? The Bible says Jonah got up. It looked like he listened. Have you ever talked to somebody that was hearing you but not listening? Don't point at your spouse. It looked like he got it because he got up. And they're like, I think he got it. But then the scriptures revealed to us, Jonah went in the complete. God's like, go this way. He's like, the complete. Now, it is important for us to notice that Jonah is a good church person because he never disrespected God with his words. He wasn't like, Jonah actually knew what God said. He was paying attention because or else you wouldn't have a book of Jonah. Jonah was like, so good. Woo! Oh. That's powerful. That's going to bless somebody one day, Lord. That is really going to help somebody one day. Not me, but it's going to help somebody one day. And he went in the complete point. God does not measure our obedience by how we hear when we're seated, but God measures our obedience by the steps we take after we've heard the word. I wonder what our steps say after we hear the word, if they step into the things of God or they step away from the things of God. Tell your neighbor, say, steps speak. Write this down, point number two. Point number two, write this down, right there. Quick. I gotta move quick because it's hot. I know. Okay, every prophetic word requires a prophetic response. Just say good word. But what will your feet say when you're stepping? Just kidding. Come on. All right. Every prophetic word requires a prophetic response. In other words, Lord, you're calling me over there. But God, I have to respond prophetically because all I see is my next step. You talk about all this great city stuff. All I see is an inconvenience because I don't want to go that way. God says, I want you to have a prophetic response Because every prophetic word requires a prophetic word response. For those that are new to church, the word prophetic just means to foresee something in the future now. You need to be able to have a vision. See that now for what it is right now. To take that next step into what God is calling you. Because steps, they speak. And I need to respond prophetically. When you receive a prophetic word, in other words, God says, I'm going to heal your marriage. God says, I'm going to raise you up to be a man of God. I'm going to break the generational stronghold. You hear it. You may not hear it audible, but you're in here and you're hearing a word right now. And God will speak to you and say, you're going to be married till death do you part. And it's a prophetic, it's a future. What needs to happen is not so much that it's automatic. Is right now you need to take the steps necessary to bring that prophetic word into fruition. Case in point, Freedom House Church. We received very prophetic word that God would expand this church to make a global impact, to change our world one life at a time, to be able to bring us into greater dimensions and influence, and that God wanted to raise up a generation after the heart of God. And so what did that look like? That looked like when the first time, that looked like the living room of my house. But what we did is we took a step. Come on. One place, a step, another place, a step, another place, every step. Then we signed a contract and we took a step and we found this building. Then we took a step and we said, well, we got to raise the funds to be able to make it a church. And we did it. We took another step and we had construction plans and we got this signed up and we took another step. And then seismic came at us, but I did kneel on them. Come on, somebody. And it didn't get us. And so we kept another step and we took another step. And we're like, guess what? It ain't done, but it's about to be done. And how we stepped into the great things that God has for us is because we responded prophetically. And I'm telling you today, and I may sound like a broken record, but listen to me. God is asking, will you take a step into the greater dimension and the greater place that God has called all of us to for the glory of God? Tell your neighbor, say, take a step. Now, steps speak not only to God, but steps speak to the enemy. 2 Kings chapter 7, I'm going to read it for the screen, so stay with me, team. Watch this now. 2 Kings chapter 7, watch what the Bible says, or 1 Kings, right here. It says this, 2 Kings, no, I'm right. It says, let me read this one because I can't see there either. The Bible says, now there were four men who had leprosy at the entrance of the city gates. Why should we sit here wanting to die? They asked each other, go to the next verse. It says, we will starve if we stay. But if we go back to the city, we will starve if we go back. So point, he's like, if we go back to the old life, we're gonna die. If we stay, we're gonna die. So die or die. It says, so we might as well, tell your neighbor, say, might as well. Okay, we might as well go out and surrender to the Aramean army, but if they let us live, so much better. But if they kill us, we would have died anyway. So he's like, either way, this stuff is not working. So that ain't working. This ain't working. We might as well go all in for God. We might as well take a risk. Watch this. The next verse. The Bible says, so at twilight, not the movie, but at twilight, they set out for the camp of the Arameans. But when they came to the edge of the camp, no one was there. Where did the enemy go? Watch the next verse. For the Lord had caused the Aramean army to hear the clatter of speeding chariots and the galloping horses and the sounds of a great army approaching. The king of Israel has hired Hittites and Egyptians to attack us, they cried one to another. Watch the next verse. So they panicked and they ran into the night, abandoning their tents, their horses, donkeys, and everything, and they fell. Here's what God showed me in this verse that pertains exactly to where we're at. That every step they took, the enemy panicked. Watch this. The devil is afraid of you taking steps into your destiny. The devil started to panic. So it's like, I'm taking a step. He goes, oh no, here he comes. Oh, he took a step. He's actually starting to do what God told him to do. And he took another. And every step, the devil actually started getting afraid. He started going, oh my goodness, here comes Freedom House. Oh my God, here comes that man. Here comes that mom. Every step caused the devil to go into a panic. And I'm telling you right now that the devil is shaking in his boots and he's afraid of you knowing the death. He's afraid and you don't gotta be afraid. The devil is afraid of you. No, don't clap because it makes the devil cry. Don't clap because the devil gets scared. No, don't do that. Don't do that. The devil's gonna get afraid. Don't worship. The devil's gonna run. Don't stay quiet. Don't lift your hands. Don't give to God because the devil will come on, somebody. I'm messing with you right now. You ought to make some noise. You ought to take some steps to cause the devil to flee. Scripture says he'll come at you one way, but he will have to flee seven different ways. Every step is like a cucaracha. Runs! He's brave when he just you're just looking at him and he's like. But you take a step, he starts booking it. That's the devil. He's a cucaracha, cockroach. Every step. Oh, Snapchat. The devil is afraid of you taking steps into your destiny. Tell your neighbor, say, take a step.
Come on,
say, take a step. Take a step. Take a step. Okay. Watch this. Watch this now. For us, listen to me. What does that look like practically, okay? This is what it looks like practically. For some of you sitting here this morning, well, Pastor Josiah, what is the next step that I'm supposed to take? Let me give it to you practically, because here's what God showed me. This is the church that is going to build the church for the church that's coming. Okay? We are in this room right now. We're the church that's going to build the church for the church that's coming. Okay, they're not here yet. Listen. This is not a grand opening. No. Watch what's going to happen. When we put grand opening, watch what's going to happen when we put that. And we put a flyer on every door in this city. Watch what's going to happen. When we do what Freedom House does and we start taking over every park, we start preaching. Watch what happens when we start taking over every bus stop, every billboard. Watch what's going to happen when we start going all out. I'm telling you, the harvest will not fit in this place. And so the question is, not if God's going to move, but are you going to move and are you going to step into the dimension that God is calling you to step in? Are you going to come to the next level? Because it's coming, it's on its way. This is the, oh God, give God a praise like you're gonna step on the devil's head and go into the next dimension. It will not contain it. It will not contain it. This is right now, we're underground. We invited, of course, our church, a few people you came, they say, hey, come check it out. This is a preview. This ain't the grand opening, okay? Just, hey, take a peek. Awesome. Woohoo. Preach a little. Woo. Come on, somebody. But when this place cracks open, it's not a question if God's move, if he's going to move. It's a question of, are we going to move? Are you going to step into the next dimension? Because if you haven't seen it, we stepped into a greater dimension. We're in it. Are you coming? You can't stay where we were because we're not there no more. We're not there. And you can't stay where you are because we're in a new dimension. And it's an invitation, interruption, prophetic response. God says, step with me into greater. Someone shout amen. Amen. What does that look like practically? Okay, practically. Come on, somebody. Okay, practically. You're here this morning. Here's what some steps look for you guys. Is to take your next step is to get planted in the house of God. That's your next step. You can't be a visitor every other Sunday to different places. But I like new coffee mugs. You got like 10. You need to get planted. Because the scripture says that those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Psalm 92:13. So you are trying to flourish in a pot. I didn't say on pot, in a pot, but that too. Come on, somebody, okay? Sorry, we like to have fun. Okay. You need to get planted and say, that's it. I don't want a church shop and hop. And it's okay for a season. If you want, I don't know where to go. Okay, cool. That's fine. But at some point, you need to say, this is where my roots are going to grow deep. And you need to get planted and say, the reason why so many are spiritually shallow is because you don't allow your roots to grow deep. I got to plant them. And yeah, guess what? Sometimes there'll be storms. Sometimes someone's going to get on your nerves. But you heard me seriously. God's not trying to ruin your life. He's trying to sharpen you. Say amen. So you got to get planted. I'm going to plant myself in the house of God. This is my church. I'm going to be part of the church that's going to build the church for the church that's coming. Okay? What does that look like? You need to register for Starting Point. Meet my wife and I at Starting Point. Forget the lunch. The lunch is delicious. But if you came just for the coffee, there's better coffee other places. Starting Point is where we say, let's start you on your journey to taking steps to a new dimension and a greater level. Come on, somebody, shout amen. Okay? For some of you, This is your home church. You love this place. Your next step is to now grow. So what we have is called Grow Track. You're gonna take a step and you say, I'm planted, but I want to grow. Okay, get to Grow Track, because you come to Sunday, Sunday's powerful, but you now need to get some foundation. You need to find out your spiritual gift. That's what we do at Grow Track. We teach you your spiritual gift. We give you the why behind the what. We break down exactly what God has called you, why we do this thing. You need to get into Grow Track. And so you need to register for that and say, I need to take a step. I want to find out my spiritual gift. I want to find out what God has in my life. Take that next step. For some of you, you need to get baptized. It's your next step, okay? You need to take a spiritual shower. Come on. You need to say, I'm going to put the old me down so the new me can come up. The Bible says that we are baptized with Christ and we are raised again in Christ. Some of you, your next step is you need to get baptized. Because, boom, you're going to receive a new level of closeness to God because you're following him. Even Jesus was baptized, okay? You need to get baptized, all right? You need to sign up for the next baptism. You need to get in there and say, God, go ahead. I'm going to walk with you. Yeah, but if I get baptized, then I have to be perfect. No, baptism is your road to being perfected, okay? Some of you need to get rebaptized because you were walking with God and you fell away. Get rebaptized. Do it 10 times. Come on, somebody. Just get right with God. Say amen. Come on. Some of you, after you get baptized, you know what you need to do? You need to now become a tither. Okay? You need to say, God, I gave you my life, but my wallet hasn't got baptized. And I got baptized with my wallet out the water. Come on, somebody. Because Jesus said that where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Your next level of growth is you are stopping the open window of heaven over your life and also hindering the move of God going to new dimensions that God wants to begin to bless you. And so you need to become a tither and put him first and honor him so all things can begin to be added into your life. Someone clap like, I'm going to be a tither and the tither's blessing is going to be over my life. You see, you're taking steps. I'm a tither. God, you have my heart, you have my wallet. I put you first, and my first 10% belongs to you, as your word declares. For some of you, the next level after tithe, God's gonna call on you to do Heart for the House. What? Like, I thought, but I gave my tithes. What's it called? Tithes? I did. The Bible says tithe and offering. What is offering? Offering is anything above your tithe. Offering is exactly that. It's an offering. It is a free will. In other words, God, I don't have to give it to you because the tithe belongs to you, but I'm doing this because you've blessed me so much that I am in a position of blessing and prosperity that I want to sow above my tithe into special projects. And let me just tell you, you don't realize this, but giving, the heart offering is a ministry. The Bible says it's a gift of giving. And I will say this prophetically because I operate in this ministry for my pastor when I serve, and I also operate here. I also have a business that I run. And let me tell you something. God is looking for people that he's going to bless your career. He's going to bless your business. He's going to bless you financially. And you're going to be like, Pastor, where's the next building? Tell me, I'm ready to sow. Where's the next kids church? Where's the next Freedom House men's home we're going to open? Where's the women's home? Tell me, Pastor, I'm blessed. God promoted me. I'm the president now. I'm the CEO. I'm the manager now. And I'm in abundance. I know this isn't just for me to get 5 more boats or to get 10 more cars, but this is a responsibility. So Pastor, I'm gonna sow an offering. Go ahead, come on somebody, say amen. What's needed? Fix the ACs. Okay, here you go. Come on somebody. All right, Heart for the House. Some of you, God's gonna step you. He's gonna say, I want you to now step and attend a connect group because you don't have no friends in the church you're planted at, and no one's sharpening you. Iron sharpens iron. You have acquaintances, but you don't have friendships. So you got to get to a men's group. You got to get to a women's group. You got to get to a student connect. You got to get to a marriage group. He's like, God's going to call you to attend a connect group. People have problems. I know, and so do you. We love you. Come on, somebody. Let's all sharpen each other because this is fellowship. This is friendship. This is where it happens. For some of you, God's going to tell you, I don't want you to attend a connect group. I want you to host a connect group. Woo! Because you're an influencer. I want you to host a group, open a group, and speak into other people. I want you to pray for people. I want you to be a leader. I want you to host one because you're already hosting connect groups, but they're in the wrong places. I want you now to host connect groups in the right places for the right things. You want to know who are the best Connect Group hosts? Is you throw a mean barbecue. You don't realize that's a call of God. You know how to, boom, everybody comes over. It's a gift. Some of you, I got to end this quickly here. Your next step is to Freedom House Bible College. Join a volunteer team. Write this down, point number three, and then I'm done. Okay, I'm done, I promise. His story is made one step at a time. Someone say one step at a time. One step. One step. Listen, today you don't have to go like this. Okay, all right. It's one step at a time. What's your next step? And every step you take, the devil that gets more and more afraid.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. To find out more about Freedom House Church, visit us at freedomhouseoc.org.